sisters in Christ Jesus, in Yahushua HaMashiach, our Lord and Savior. Yes, I greet you once again from the lovely island nation of Sri Lanka, where much happens at all times. The activity is interesting, always on the external. And you know, something that's kind of cool, you know, so often we've gotten used to having to survive through difficulties and struggles and all of that. But the flip side of it is also when things seemingly go well for you in the world. And, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, the world is gauging how they're doing based on how well they're doing in the world. For us, it's not something that's based on the externals, but it's an internal state. That said, occasionally it seems like things are actually going very well for us. And in those times, too, to not be caught up in that either, and to not lose your focus, your mindset, it's because it's very easy when things go well for you to get distracted as well, for you to go down another spot, another way, another, you know, like there was that, what was it, God said to the children of Israel, you know, when they would go into the promised land, that basically when things would go well for them in that place, that they would, you know, have their fill and eventually forget their creator. Which seems to happen a lot when people have material success, that they go decadent. And I think that's why, too, for a lot of the ones that at this time that God will raise up seemingly in that way, they've come through a very interesting and a very tough road on the internal, very tough road on even the things of the natural, so that they're not stuck on that at all. You know, I know a lot of people, they get stuck on the material outward appearance of things, but no, you know, God would have to test you. And you know, sometimes too, the things that people think they can handle, a lot of times the things that people can think they can handle, you really can't. And He knows what you can. And so you allow Him to take you down that line and to push that through you. And basically we receive from the Father's hand what it is that He knows you need. And He knows I need. Not what it is that I think I need. Those are two different things. Ultimately, when you, of your free will, give yourself up to the Spirit of God, basically you are consecrating yourself up and over to whatever path He would take you on for the development of Christ in you, the hope of glory, for the revelation of that to happen. And, you know, you basically, when you turn your life over to Him, you're submitting yourself then to that process. And that process is unique and individualized for each person. This is why you cannot have a purpose-driven whatever, purpose-driven life, purpose-driven church, because it's really the Spirit-led individual. And the Spirit-led individual will go through a whole different set of circumstances. And through the outside, God uses the outside situations of life to break the outer man. You know, you've got that outer man that's there. You have that flesh man, that soul man, that, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I can't live with myself. Well, who is, if it's I and myself, who is the myself that I can't live with? You know, that soul man is the myself. It's that outer husk, that outer outer man. Watchman Nee wrote about this in The Release of the Spirit. Really, really good book. Recommend that you guys read it. It was a while back that I read it. But, you know, when you submit to the Spirit of God, when you submit to the working of the Spirit of God, What he does is he orchestrates your circumstances and your situations in life for the purpose of breaking the outer man. And he has to do that. See, he must break that outer man, because that outer man is part of the fall. It's part of that separation from him. See, before the fall, you were I am. You were in I am. You were in that connection. You were in that place. You were in that state. And then after the fall, you then shifted into another place where that outer man, that soul man, became the thing that was dictating your terms. And you know, people, what happens is they start thinking that that soul man is them. They start thinking that that flesh man is who they are. And it's an interesting process, because when you realize that that's not you, when you realize that that soul man is not you, that that flesh man, that outer part, is not who you are, that the real you is I am. And then when you realize that, and then how you then go through life from that stage forward, you know, in spirit, and but also, you know, bringing under subjection those other places, those other pieces. Because the flesh is not you, you know that. And that soul man, that outer husk, that soul thinking, that's not you either. The real you is spirit. You're spirit being. You are in I am, fused with him, one in Christ. That is you. So out of that place of being one in him, that's the place that you need to live in. That's the place that you need to move in. That's the place that God would have you to be. So it is a challenge, because, you know, the world will reinforce the flesh and the soul for the purpose of keeping you away from spirit. It's very important. The flesh and the soul man are reinforced by the world. They're bolstered by the world. So like a lot of the self-help books that the worlders have and that they put out, and even the Christian church, quote-unquote, which is the Christian church, which is part of the world system in and of itself. So I'm back. Small commercial break there. Yes, so God orchestrates our circumstances and our situations to break the external soul man for the person that is willing to go the way and follow him. And ultimately what he's doing is he's, you know, just like the seed. If you've ever studied how plants grow, you know, a plant is put in some soil and then it has to break through that outer husk of the seed in order for it to for the plant to take life. And unless, you know, even as Jesus talked about, you know, unless the seed dies and falls to the ground, it remains a single seed. But you know, it's got to go through this process, and part of that process requires the breaking of that external that's there of you and I. And when you're broken on the external, you move into a blessing. Although that breaking is painful, and oh yes, it is painful. For those of you that have gone through it, you know what I mean. God works through broken individuals, because his life flows through the cracked vessels that we are. And then from that place of being broken, he then restores and builds up and renews and makes whole and makes it something beautiful that wasn't there before. This is what happens. You know, this is his way. And, you know, in this process too, you know, it's funny, sometimes there are lost dreams that we have. You know, lost hopes that we have. You know, I've kind of noticed something for me. a lot of times things that, you know, I might have hoped for, and then when I let them go, it seems like almost a lot of stuff, like 7 years after the fact, will come back into my life, or come back around, you know, I am not talking about relationships, people, at all. I'm talking about specific, just like, you know, opportunities as far as work and personal things that I desire to do. But, you know, the time that God brought certain things into my life like that, He did so, you know, after ego was out of it. Because, see, before, there was a lot of ego that was involved in the things that I was trying to do and the decisions that I was trying to make. I want to do this for God. I want to... You see what I'm saying? And it's just like, and even if I did whatever for God, in the I doing that, what it ended up doing was bolstering my ego. Look what I did for God. He doesn't want that. He's not asking for your ego to be bolstered at all. He wants you to be broken and for His life to flow through yours. And if that means that you've got to go through your entire life before, if you never get this lesson, that you've got to go through your entire life to try to start to learn it, well, then maybe that's what it is. You know, the quickest way to move through what it is that God would desire to do with you is to wholly give yourself over to the work of the Spirit of God, to abandon yourself completely into His hands, and to let Him do with you as He wishes. And whatever it is whatever it is. Whether you be up or down or sideways, or things are going well or things are going difficult, whatever it is, does not matter. It doesn't matter. You just receive whatever it is that He has for you. And you use the wisdom that He's given you to make the decisions that He desires that you make. And you go on. I mean, you know, I had a very, very dear friend of mine tell me one time. You know, she said, Govinda, she said something that's kind of cool with you. She said, you come across to me as a person who's not in control of his life. And that was actually something really nice to be said, because, you know, for me, that it's true. I have no control, because I've given up that control. I've given up that right to myself, if you would. I don't have it. For me, I said to myself, well, first of all, when I realized that myself and my flesh wasn't me, then I started dealing with it all a different way. And I allowed this, and the Spirit of God broke that where I didn't trust it anymore. But like I said in my spirit, Lord, I want your way. And I will go your way. And that was the decision that my will submitted itself to, and submitted the rest of the being to as well, be it flesh or soul, including spirit. And so in that process of submitting the rest of me to that, now whatever the rest of me might think about it, it's still on for that journey. It has to go down that path, because that's the path that's been chosen for it. So you know, now the flesh doesn't want to go the way of spirit, nor does the soul man, the outer man. The outer man wants to be in control. That ego wants to be in control. That ego does not want to die, because the Spirit of God requires that you die to your flesh, that you die to your soul. That thought life that's not His. So, yeah, it's a different thing, you know. But in this process too, what happens is God, once He's got you to certain stages, now He can do a lot more with the externals, because you're not stuck on them. See, Daniel and Joseph were not stuck on the externals. You know, I mean, people, they look at these guys and they're like, oh, Daniel, third highest ruler in the kingdom, Joseph, second in command of Pharaoh. But they weren't looking at that. These guys had said in their hearts, no matter what, I don't want to sin against God. And they maintained that. Wasn't easy. Was not easy. They maintained that. As they moved through life, they maintained, and you know what? Daniel would have willingly been executed at 16 for his request, was that if that were necessary, but he did not want to defile himself in that nation, in that time, with what it was that he was facing. Joseph willingly, you know, he wanted God. And though he was petitioned by Potiphar's wife, and she tried to seduce him, and she tried to do all kinds of things, but he, you know, he knew the line. And for him, he said, hey, you know, I can't sin against God. Forget the woman. This is not about her. It's about his relationship with God. See, if you've got something bigger going on, you realize now, when you're faced with the trials and the afflictions and the temptations that the world has, that is common to everybody, you see it a different way. For Joseph, this wasn't about Potiphar's wife. This was about his relationship and his connection with God. And he did not want to sacrifice that for a moment of pleasure, you know, and maybe securing a position in that house. Because, yeah, you know what would happen? Joseph would have stopped right there. He would have become, I mean, he was already in a natural state, but he was not in the spirit. Spiritually, he was free. Though Joseph and Daniel were both slaves in the natural, in the realm of spirit, they were free. But what both these guys were offered, what Daniel was offered, what Joseph was offered, a slightly better position in the natural in exchange for him enslaving himself spiritually and cutting himself off from God. That was the offer made to him. And he rejected it. And so he went from Potiphar's house into the dungeon with all the other prisoners of Pharaoh. Never did anything wrong. Never did anything wrong. It's a fine how do you do. You know, I think that's one thing that's so hard for God's people. It's hard for us because so many of the people that have a problem with this, have an issue with this, we didn't do anything to them. We didn't do anything to them. We never There was no malice. There was no attack. There was no us trying to get at them, us trying to make their lives miserable. No, we only blessed them, only helped them, only were there for them. They ate from our tables. They drank from our, you know, bottles of juice. I don't know. They experienced the benefit of knowing us, and we did that without expectation, and yet they, at the close of it, treated us very, very poorly. But God knows. And the thing with God is that He is able, in a moment, to change your situation. You got to understand this. He is able to, in a moment, change the very nature of everything that you've ever known and everything that you've ever thought. He can do that. He created the universe. Come on. He can change your situation very quickly. He can orchestrate situations behind the scenes very quickly. He can put a lot of things in place very fast. So He's able. And He wants the best for His children. But what He knows is the best, and what you think is the best, may be two different things. To come to the place where your thoughts are His thoughts, your mind is His mind, is part of the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit aligns you with Him. The work of the Spirit aligns you with Him. It gets you into a place where you see things through His eyes. When you look out, it's Him looking out. And when people see you, they see Him. And there is no separation. That is a Christian. A Christ-like one. One anointed in the order of Christ. The Christian is not a label carrier. The Christian is a Christ-like one. And God has called you to that. He's called you to be a Christian. A Christ-like one. In the realest sense. Maybe we got to drop the labels because they're so abused. They're so terrible. I really don't like the labels myself. Because they've done a disservice to so many people. People think they're okay because they bear a label. It's not about the outward man, the labels. It's about the condition of your heart. And He knows what that is. So when you submit yourself to the work of the Spirit, He will take that, reform and change and refine and make you into what it is that He made you to be. There is no other way. There is no other way apart from Him. There is no other way besides going the route that He has for you. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news. We carry the good news. You know what? The good news, you can be what God made you to be. You don't have to be bound. You don't have to be perplexed. You don't have to be stuck in an old way, in an old pattern. You don't have to be anything that you once were. You can be I am in Him right now. You can be in I Am. You can live in that place, in that state of existence. Life was meant to be enjoyed. And the Spirit of God knows exactly what's necessary to bring you to that place of fulfillment. That's what He's desiring to do. Don't fight the work of the Spirit. Submit yourself to it. And as you submit yourself to it, you submit yourself to the path and the process of life. So with that, I will bid you guys adieu. God bless you. Love you. Hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. And thank you guys for writing in and just letting us know that you're out there and you're listening. Hey, we love it. All right, talk to you later. God bless you. Bye.